We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Mark Bader. Mark is a Milwaukee-based recruiter, connector, as well as a candidate branding and interview coaching expert. He presently works as a recruiter for Geltech and is also the founder of Warhorse Talent, Mark Bader Recruitment, and is a prime mover for the Warhorse quarterly networking events. He specializes in networking with people who are 35 years of age and older and seeking to pivot in some way in their career, which is sometimes difficult for people to do in today's job market. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. Thanks for inviting me in.
I know that you are a power networker, and that's how we've met, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited for our conversation today. I'm going to open with a question that I know you will have some fantastic advice for. What is the single most valuable thing to develop as a professional? That thing that will help a professional remain viable and relevant and plugged into their specific community?
It is obviously a network. Mm-hmm. And the earlier you start developing and growing that network, the better you will be. You will find that most of your greatest opportunities, if you're a business person, most of your best business deals will come through dealings with your network over the course of time. It will be people who know you, people that you know, and people that can do good things for one another.
I believe that 100%. And that's why we have this show on this very topic, right?
Exactly.
So I know that you've started your own networking organization, Warhorse Quarterly Networking Events. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, I'll go back a little further. So I have been in business, and originally the first half of my career was sales. And I just started networking about 30-some years ago, and it took me about 5 or 10 years to figure out what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then I got good at it, and part of my everyday business experience is networking and growing a network. For about 8 years, there was a gentleman who had a quarterly networking event in southeastern Wisconsin, or the Milwaukee area. It was a great event. It was not agenda-driven. It was networking for the sake of networking, and it had a great mix of people, people who were business owners, business people, sometimes people who were seeking new opportunities, and it was just a really great mix. That was in operation for about 8 years, and for a number of reasons, that gentleman decided to just back out of providing that networking event. And so the primary reason I'm doing it is I thought it was important to have that type of event in the Milwaukee area. And so I jumped into that void. So normally it would have been held in January, April, July, and October. And that gentleman had chosen not to do one in January. And then I became aware that he was not going to be doing them anymore. So I jumped into that void. I found out about that in March, and we decided to have the event in April, and it was extremely successful.
Nice.
So
cool.
Yeah. And as I said, I think what's important is it's not agenda driven. And so people come with the primary goal, both of for us doing the event, but actually for people to come and grow their network. Many people who are working today, particularly a person with 10, 15, 20 years of work experience, many times their only network exists with the people that they work with. Uh-huh. That ethic of building a great network was kind of in the province of salespeople, mm-hmm. but not really other people. And so now these days, for somebody who is 40 years of age or older, the only place they're going to really find that next great opportunity is going to come through a network. It's not going to come because they apply on a website somewhere.
Yep, I believe that. So is there one thing we should know about a network that might be surprising?
I think the surprising thing about a network is that it's a living thing. And probably the one thing that's really important is the more that you as an individual put into it, and the more that you offer the things that you know about and your expertise and give the time to others, the better you will actually benefit in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of an altruistic sense, I think, in the best networking, and that is that when you meet people, your first inclination should be to find out how you can assist them.
Yep.
And the karma comes back around, or in some sense, when somewhere down the line, it could be a month, it could be a year, it could be 10 years from now, when that comes back to actually benefit you. And so I always say that the best way to network is with no expectation of benefiting from that initial contact or initial conversation.
That's a very powerful statement to say, to have no expectation of benefiting, but I believe that as well.
Yeah.
So where is the best place to network?
The best place to network is wherever you are at just about any time. And to give you an example, I go back, this goes back a number of years when I was selling. And I remember a sales manager I had who said, this was early in the days when people were starting to wear headphones and listen to music and things like that on an airplane. And he said, "Why aren't you introducing yourself to the person sitting next to you?" And that kind of stuck because, what we tend to do many times is if we're sitting in a coffee shop or we're sitting alone someplace, and maybe we are primarily wanting to be alone,
mm-hmm.
there still are opportunities throughout a day. You don't have to try to get into a conversation, but wait, maybe where you can say hello to somebody and the opportunity exists where you can introduce yourself. That you can do that in a coffee shop, you can do that in a bar, you can do that at a networking event, you can do that just about anywhere where you're standing there and you realize that there may be similar interests.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you not want to introduce yourself to that person?
Sure.
And I know for some people who are not as outgoing, that's difficult to do, but that is one of the things that any professional will need to get over, that reticence, because in the job market of today and the job market going forward, your opportunities are going to come through your network. And so the bigger and more vibrant that network and the better that network has energy to do things, the better off you will be long term. And so you have to go into areas where you're uncomfortable.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that. My goal with this podcast is to remove that fear and that hesitation, that level of being uncomfortable. And I hope that we can do that by you sharing your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had.
My most successful and favorite networking, they're both the same, has actually happened just within the past 15 months.
Okay.
And so to give just a little bit of background, I am today working as an employee of a company called Geltech. Approximately 16 months ago, I was self-employed, doing recruiting, independent recruiting under the Mark Bader recruitment brand, and helping people with that whole notion of personal branding, candidate branding through Warhorse Talent.
Mm-hmm.
October 23rd of 2016, I was seriously injured in a car crash. Now, let's remember, I was self-employed. 10 days after the car crash, I had surgery to reconstruct an elbow on one side, to reconstruct a wrist and thumb on the other side. I could not use my arms for 6 months. I could not drive.
Wow, yes.
And most of what I was doing for Warhorse Talent was writing. I was keyboarding, and I could not do that. 10 days after surgery, so this is now approximately 20 days after the car crash, I was sitting in the rocking chair where I lived for 6 months because of other injuries, including broken ribs, et cetera, et cetera.
My goodness. Yep.
Okay. Those injuries, I couldn't do anything, and I was wondering how I was going to scrape together my next dollar because I was self-employed. And out of the blue, Geltech called me. The company called me, and they were looking for a recruiter. And I told them that I really wasn't, you know, in the market, but they should also be aware that I was in serious car crash. I had injuries, couldn't drive. I couldn't do a keyboarding. Mm-hmm. And as things turned out, several people in my network had recommended that they talk to me.
Oh, wow.
So the phone call I had with the first gentleman was, you know, we talked for about 20 minutes and then he indicated that he would get back to me in 3 to 4 months, see how I was doing. But then he called me back 20 minutes later and asked if he and the CEO of the company could come out and meet me at home the next day.
Wow.
So they came out and we spent about 3 hours just talking. The next day, the CEO picked me up at home, took me to the office, showed me around for a few hours, brought me back home and dropped me off.
Wow.
Then the next day, he went deer hunting and was gone for 10 days, but when he got back, got in touch with me. And the long story short was they made the job offer to me. And in that first approximately 5 months, my significant other dropped me off 1 day a week at the office. The rest of the time I worked at home. And on that 1 day per week, the CEO gave me a ride home.
Wow.
And I attribute all of that to my network.
Absolutely.
Because had I been trying to apply to recruiting jobs, particularly in a situation where I was doing it from a point of weakness.
Yep.
Hi, I want a job, but hey, I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, all these limitations. But all of those limitations were eliminated and forgotten because I got a direct recommendation to me.
Wow.
And that was why they called me back 20 minutes later and said, hey, can we come out and meet with you?
Yeah.
That I attribute everything to network.
Absolutely. That's a great story to share. And the beauty of it is that you weren't even really seeking this opportunity.
I wasn't. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And it was a Monday morning, about 10 o'clock, they called me. The next day was Tuesday when they came out and met with me. The next day was Wednesday when the CEO picked me up at home. And on that Thursday, that was when he went up to northern Wisconsin to go deer hunting for 10 days. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
It's a great story. Sounds like a great company, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your network made it happen.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. So your network is very large and extensive. I know this just because of what I know about you, and I know that you spread your wings wide and deep as well. What do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, one of the things that I learned, and this was something I just bumbled into doing a long time ago. So I've been on LinkedIn for 14 and a half years. And one of the things that I figured out, and I don't pat myself on the back, I just bumbled into it, was getting involved in commenting and sharing content on LinkedIn and getting into groups that are affinity groups in LinkedIn and becoming relevant to those groups. And so what I've done over the – and then later on – I extended that to Facebook and to Twitter, and these days to some of the other social media platforms that are out there. And one of the things that has happened is that because I'm careful about the content I share, it falls into four different categories for my different constituencies. The constituencies are candidates. The constituencies are business owners or hiring managers who might need someone to recruit for them. The third group are people who need help with that whole idea of branding and also career coaching and interview coaching. And then the fourth group are just other recruiters, other people that are in the talent management arena. And so virtually all of my messaging, all of the content of everything that I share out to all of my social networks are on those four subject areas. And because of that, that has helped me develop a brand. And then that was a very natural way to continue to grow my network once the technology existed. Because remember, I was doing the networking before LinkedIn ever existed and before Facebook ever existed. Uh-huh. And so that was a lot of the face-to-face at events. And then later, you know, a little bit through email. But it was really utilizing those platforms. And part of it was building my brand. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to build my brand to increase the size of my network. And then with my network helping develop my brand, which was why I was able to go out as an independent on the recruiting side. And then later in that other, the branding business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's something that I do every day. I never get away from it. And I'm meeting people and talking. Yesterday morning, I did a presentation to an organization here in the Milwaukee area, you know, a room with 50 people sitting in it. Every one of them within the last 2 or 3 months has lost their job. Hmm. Every one of them except one is from 40 years of age on up, and they're having that trouble navigating the job market. And so we talked about, although the subject matter was specifically about interviewing skills, I spent the first 10 to 15 minutes talking about networking.
Yep.
And I do that every time I do a presentation. I start with that because most of these people, it has not yet, in fact, in most of them, it might not ever, but become a part of their regular business regimen, mm-hmm. that it's just part of what they do, just like becoming good at whatever they do and doing learning extra things, extra skills, going outside of that box. It's also going outside into the community and building a vibrant network.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how you are very focused on the content that you're publishing online, and thought is put into who is the audience that you want to see it. Not a lot of people are doing that. So well done there.
Well, see, everything that I do and when I help people with the branding, and it's the same thing with the content that I either share or create, I always think in terms of reverse engineering. In other words, who's my audience or who do I want the audience to be? And then creating or sharing content that is going to be relevant to that audience.
Yep.
Rather than just sharing stuff and hoping that it's kind of like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what'll stick, I don't want to do that.
Yep.
I want to be more focused rather than that shotgun approach, somewhat of a rifle approach.
Yeah, good analogy too. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, I would say the thing is start today.
Yep.
Start immediately and take every opportunity to do it. And although it's hard when you're out of a job, particularly, to go in thinking about the other person, because there's that tendency to think about our own needs first, you will benefit much, much more if you think about the other person first, if you focus on them first and you ask about how you can assist them. Tell me a little bit about your industry. What do you like about it? You know, you've been successful in it. What would you tell someone else coming into that industry? Ask them questions that will get them talking about the things that they love and the things that they're passionate about. And that's the best way to get someone to like you is to get them to talk about themselves and what they're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it will always come back around to you when then you can talk. And again, you know, it's funny, whether you're branding on LinkedIn or whether you're networking and getting into conversations, if you always try to think in terms of it's sort of about you, but not really about you.
Yep.
It's about how you can serve those other people. If you're looking for a job at a company, it's how that company can leverage your skill sets, mm-hmm. not only you leveraging your skill sets. And so if you can kind of think outside of yourself, you will benefit far more.
Totally.
Far more than anything else.
Absolutely. This one, I'm really interested in your answer because you've spoken a lot about digital, but also you are a huge advocate of traditional networking.
Oh, so absolutely.
Which one do you find more value in?
Well, everything that I do on electronic platforms is with the intent of ultimately meeting in person. Okay. And that's the same whether a person is in a job search or just networking. But most times, so for instance, I've had already today 4 or 5 people who have either been referred to me or introduced to me, and they immediately want to have a cup of coffee. And, you know, as Lori probably knows, that having a meeting with somebody when there is no agenda can be pretty costly because it takes up a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And so what I always prefer to do is to set a day and time for a phone call, have that initial phone call. A lot of what I do, frankly, even when I'm just doing coaching or mentoring, much more efficiently can be done on the phone than necessarily sitting across from a person. But my intent ultimately is to meet that person. And whether that's for a cup of coffee or at some event, there was a woman I spoke with about 10 days before or about a week before the Warhorse Quarterly networking event. And she was going to come, but I found out she was in marketing. And I became aware of another event that same evening that was focused on helping people in the creative industries write resumes and things like that. Well, and I thought that might be of more value to that person.
Sure.
So part of my role is also making people aware of other events that are going on, not just ones that I'm in charge of.
Yep.
But it's and again, I look at that, you know, I'm a Milwaukee guy. Everything that happens to a certain extent happens here.
Uh-huh.
And so any value that I can give, even if the people aren't necessarily going to be an immediate client of mine, that's okay because I'm going to bump into them again.
Absolutely.
If I've had that chance to meet with them, at some point I'm going to see them again. So when you ask the question of is it electronic or is it in person, some of it kind of, I would say, depends. But most of the time, generally speaking, I'm trying to use means like social media or social networking platforms, which would include a Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, to move that to text messaging and email, to move that to a phone call, to move that to a meeting. Because when it comes right down to it, from a business perspective or even from a person who's looking for a job, it's all about conversations, not necessarily interviews. And you have to have those in person.
Yep.
And so, you know, yeah, ultimately the goal is to meet people in person because, you know, I think Tom Hopkins used to say, the old sales trainer, is that nothing happens until you're belly to belly with that other person. And that's kind of the same whether it's sales, whether you're looking for a new opportunity or position, or whether you're just trying to grow your network.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like everything that you're saying here. And I even like how you expanded electronic because it's not just social media. It's,
right,
you know, texting and emailing. And then you move into that phone call before you get into the face-to-face, which is great for the locals. But
exactly,
if you're conducting business on a right national level, you can still – I think the in-person is now the video conferencing.
Well, and you're right. And a lot of people, I just, the person who started in a new job yesterday that I placed. So she's been living in Brookfield, working for a company based in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it was interesting because when she would talk about meetings, she would talk about meetings just as if she was sitting across from people, but her meetings all day long were via video,
sure,
WebEx or whatever. And that's something that, again, you know, people need to learn to be comfortable with. I always talk about projecting your personality through a phone line, projecting your personality like what we're doing right here.
Yep.
Projecting your personality if it's even a Skype call or a WebEx or some other Zoom, some sort of video. And that takes practice. It takes practice.
It does.
And you got to do it with people. You don't want to make the first time that you're doing it the interview or when you're trying to close a deal.
Yep.
You need to be comfortable doing it and you need to see how is the lighting right? Is all that other kind of stuff. So all you can do is focus on your messaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Really good advice that you're sharing. And I like that you're very methodical on everything that you're doing. You're very systematic with regards to networking, which you have to be, right?
You have to be, right.
If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, I think a couple of things. So I go back to my 20-year-old self. I was majoring in communication in college, and I still thought everything was about me. And so I guess it's that understanding earlier that my success is almost a direct reflection of the success I can help people with around me. And I think that's one of the things is learning to be outside yourself. I think a lot of 20-year-olds, you know, and again, it's not that it's not a millennial. It's not today's 20-year-old. It's anybody when they were 20. They just didn't get it. They mm-hmm. just didn't quite understand yet. And then the other thing that I wish that I had understood is that this whole notion of human capital and the last since 1995, I've been involved in recruiting and staffing, first on the sales side, later on the actual recruiting side, doing that for the last 12 years. I really kind of wish I'd have been doing that since I was in my 20s, because I've learned, I'm really passionate about it. I love it. And then the other part of it is, you know, it took me 20 years, so until I was 40, to have a lot of things coalesce in my mind about how to help other people who were dealing with the job market. Mm-hmm. And some of that comes from being a recruiter, obviously. And then each of those informs the other. My recruiting informs what I do on that candidate branding side. And then what I do on that side actually informs what I do on the recruiting side.
Sure.
So it makes me a better recruiter.
Yeah. That definitely makes sense. And I love the value that you've shared as far as really understanding that your success is derived from the success of those that are around you.
Right, exactly.
That's powerful. Mark, a lot of my guests are avid readers.
Okay.
And I imagine you are as well, because
right.
you're a smart guy. What book are you reading?
I'm rereading the book People by You. In other words, people by B-U-Y,
okay.
U-Y-O-U.
Okay.
And it's, again, that whole and so much of this is tied to even the discussion we're having here today. It's your communication with other people, and it's the way that you present yourself. The person who wrote the book didn't write it in terms of branding, but it's very much about branding.
Sure.
And so people do buy you. This is something that I talk about to, you know, because I was a sales guy for so long. I realized it then. People buy from people that they like.
Yep, absolutely.
People hire people that they like. And so when you think about that and you think about your interactions with other people, it's very important to really kind of sometimes sit back and think about the you that you are presenting to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is important to think about how people might see you. And sometimes you even have to ask people. You know, and I've done that a couple of times along the way. I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin, but I have at times asked people, you know, when you look at me, when you hear me, what are you thinking? Because that helps, and you know, otherwise I'm making sort of a guess at it. And the better you can crystallize who you are and what you are and be comfortable in your own skin doing what it is that you're good at and what you love to do, the more happy you'll be.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think the only way that individuals are going to be able to understand that is if they ask. I've never heard of this book, but I'm definitely adding it to my reading
list.
Okay.
I'll share with you the author. and everything.
Fantastic. So. All right. Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think the final thing that I would say is, although it takes focus and it takes, you know, sometimes kicking yourself in the butt to get out of the house and to get where people are, networking is actually pretty easy and pretty fun. But, you know, if you're a person that is a little bit, you know, not that outgoing, it's a little harder to do. And so one thing that you can do, it's sort of like dating, you know, figure out who your wing person is, that you can go out with another person who can kind of help you along through those initial more difficult spots. And I've known a lot of people who it's interesting. Here's the other thing about networking, I think, that you just cannot forget. I can think of right off the top about 10 people who they have been heeding this message about networking. I met them in some way at some point in the last 10 years at a networking event when they were out of work. We had these discussions about how important networking was. We had these discussions about kind of building a brand and the kind of content you share on LinkedIn, which is exactly the kinds of things they did. And then they eventually found a job and they continue to network today. And you do the networking for a couple of reasons. One, you continue doing it because now you're in the position where you can mentor and help others. Okay. And that's going to really come back to you someday down the line, because the chances are you are going to lose your position at some point. Job market has changed. And so it's one of those things that goes around, comes around sort of thing, really, really, really is true when it comes to networking. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to stop simply because you found a job. That's the time to continue on and to be of more of assistance to others. And, you know, these people who have learned that even when they have a position, they continue to do it. They are so much more valuable to their network. And so, you know, the one thing that I have found in today's job market, and I tell this to people all the time, is whatever you're doing today, building your foundation for the your career and how you're bringing yourself to the marketplace, you're going to need to continue doing that. This is the foundation you're building today because, you know, I'm not an economist, but I am a recruiter and I see it enough. Most people, their next job is not going to last longer than 3 or 4 years. And because many of the jobs are in mid-sized companies, there's a lot of mergers, acquisitions, a lot of change in that marketplace. So you might be really good at your job, but you still could become redundant. And so you're probably, you know, if you're 50 years old, chances are between now and the time that you're 60, you're going to have 3 different jobs. So you have to continue doing this. It's not something that you have the luxury of stopping. Mm-hmm. And if you're a business person, you'd be foolish to stop. Because if you own a business or a lot of your business, if you're a salesperson and your business comes through your networking, you don't want to stop. You can't. You can't afford to. So that's just, I guess, the thing is that, you know, you need to make it a part of your regular professional persona. Is that part of you that networks?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Really good advice. You said a bunch of things here, and I'm going to just kind of sum them up a little bit. One, that it takes focus. I think that's really powerful. That networking is easy and fun, even if you are more the introvert, right? Individual. Yep. Once you warm up, it's definitely helpful. Figuring out who you can help out is very important along the way. And then making sure that you're in a position to actually be of service and help others.
Right.
And focusing on your brand, your message, and kind of how you want others to know you, I think is really powerful. Really good insight.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. If anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, probably initially the best way and easiest for people, particularly if they're in a work environment, is I am on LinkedIn. So under Mark, M-A-R-K, last name spelled B as in boy, O-E, D as in David, E-R. I'm in Milwaukee. So there's another Mark Bader somewhere, I think, in in Holland or something. But that's probably the best way to initiate it. And then what I generally do from there is try to move it to email so then we can set, I can send out a calendar invite for a phone conversation.
Sure. Makes
so that's sense. that's usually the best way is kind of to start it there and move through. And as I said, those kind of degrees of connectedness on platforms, best place to start when you don't have an email address for somebody is start with LinkedIn. Whether it's to me or anybody, start there because that way you can message just about anybody.
And you're still throwing out advice to our listeners.
I am. I can't help it.
No, that's great. And we will include that information in the show notes. Connect with Mark on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today, Mark.
Thank you, Lori. It was a pleasure. It was fun.
It was fun. Good information you shared as well. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Mark Bader for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.